This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, beseech language to put its left leg in, its left leg out, in, out, shake it all about.
I'm doing a run of episodes with other Radiotopians, so which one will be joining me today?
You're listening to Song Exclusionist. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway.
He takes songs apart and scrabbles around, looking for meaning in their innards. It's my Radiotopian sibling, Hrishikesh Hirway from Song Exploder. I won't do that again. Hrishi, of course, knows a lot about songwriting, so I wanted to ask him about a particular category of words, vocables, that aren't really words, actually, but are rather lonesome phonemes or non-word noises that behave a little like words. In normal speech, vocables perform various functions. For instance, and ah buy us time to think and paper over cracks in our phrases. And babies testing out their vocal cords tend to be pretty keen on the vocables. Not sure they have a wealth of alternatives at that stage, to be honest. So in speech, vocables aren't necessarily meaningful or consequential or even intentional, but in song, they can be all these things. All those la-la-las and dum-de-dums and bom-bom-bom-dooby-dooby-doos, they're ubiquitous in songs. So what are they doing there?
It's different from scatting, which is sort of an improvised thing in a song where somebody might vamp, and a singer might take a solo, basically, without words.
I thought maybe it was a kind of form of scat singing, but are you saying it's a very calculated replacement for words rather than using your voice as a pure instrument?
I think of scatting as an improvisational thing, that in jazz, when Ella Fitzgerald takes a little scatting solo, she's basically taking a solo the way a saxophonist would, but she's just using her voice. It's not like a part that's written, but with vocables, it's a written part, but there's just no words. There might be la-las or ba-bas, but that's essentially what vocables are, regardless of what the syllable actually is.
Songs don't have to all be words. You can just have a motif. And I used, in one of the songs, I sang na-na-na-na because I wanted to repeat the melody of the chorus, but I didn't want to repeat the lyric.
That is songwriter and singer Tony Hazard, whose songs have been recorded by the likes of Cliff Richard, Hall & Oates, Manfred Mann, Andy Williams, Lulu.
I've been in the music business for 50 years.
Wow. Do you get a telegram from the Queen?
No. My very first publisher was this. We're going back to mid-60s. And he'd come and say, what's happening, you know. The thing that he drilled into me, he said, where's the hook? And the hook is a motif, whether it's lyrical or melodic, that will hook the listener's attention. And the classic phrase is the old grey whistle test.
That phrase was popularised by the BBC TV music show of the same name that ran from 1971 to 1988, but it probably originated quite a bit earlier, during the 1930s, in the Brill Building in New York, which was packed full of songwriters and publishers trying to churn out the hits. The old greys were maintenance staff who would overhear demos.
If they could whistle the tune, you knew you'd hit home. It was lodged in people's minds. Wordless lyrics are really hooks. So it's what bop-a-loom, up-a-lop, bam-boom. When you hear that, you know what's coming. It sticks in your mind. It's been in people's minds for God knows 50-odd years now. Everybody knows that phrase, which is theoretically meaningless. But it's a great record. It's a really good record. Little Richard, Tutti Frutti, which was originally a gay song, basically saying, Tutti Frutti, good booty, you've got a nice bottom. And the producer of Little Richard said, you can't sing that. So they altered, I don't know who altered them, but it might have been a joint thing with Little Richard and the producer, or and I think somebody else, it was a woman, went out and rewrote them. Da-do-rum-rum-rum, da-do-rum-rum. The writer could have written a lyric.
Do you think they just couldn't be bothered?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's because, everybody remembers da-do-rum-rum, even if they don't remember the rest of it.
And Agadoo, I suppose.
And Agadoo is a classic one. And what was it? There was Agadoo.
All the greats.
Agadoo.
In the case of Agadoo, Black Lace's translation of an equally charmless French pop song, the words are probably even worse than the non-words. But sometimes, well, alright, a lot of times, I feel that vocable use represents a failure of imagination. For example, in the song She Makes Me Wanna by the recently dismantled British boy band JLS. She makes me wanna, oh, 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 oh. Finish the sentence, JLS! Makes you wanna what? She makes me wanna. Expand your vocabulary. Makes me wanna. Harness the power of words for self-expression. Would it kill them to use words instead?
If it feels like it's a replacement for where there should be words, then you're going to be like, I feel a little cheated. But if it's a textural thing in a song, if it's something that is like a backing vocal, a lot of times it's like a backing vocal, then it's great. Sometimes you don't want words. Sometimes you want space for your mind to fill in the meaning.
And actually, a lot of us create that space even when the words are there. I know I have a tendency to overlook the meaning and the narrative in a song. For me, the lyrics form an impression more than an expression. And I'm sure I'm not alone in this.
I was talking to a chap in my local pub a few weeks ago, and he said, I never listen to the lyrics at all. I said, oh, that's a shame. I spent a long time crafting the best lyrics I can. He said, well, I've never ever thought of it. I just listen to the record. And I know what he means, because it depends on the type of song. There are some songs that, should we say, some records I listen to, I never ever get tired of them, and they lift me up. Lift my spirits up. But, you know, who knows what they're about? Well, in some cases, I know what they're about. One of the great records I love is Betty Wright's Shura Shura. I never get tired of it. Shura, shura, I can hear you calling. Shura, shura, but you can't catch me. It just fills it in.
Rishi, any vocal favourites?
Oh, there's one song by Brokeback. They did a song with the late Mary Hansen, who used to be in Stereolab when she was alive. And they make mostly instrumental music, but they have a song with her called In the Reeds that I really love. And it's essentially an instrumental. There are no words in the whole song, but she sings in it. It's beautiful. I love that song. And I think actually if there had been words there, it would be a completely different product. It would not necessarily be better, and could be maybe worse.
You can find out about Tony Hazard's half century of music at tonyhazard.com, and The Halicum Sessions, his new album, will be out shortly. Hrishikesh Hirway makes the truly marvellous podcast Song Exploder. Every episode is whatever the aural equivalent of eye-opening is. Ear-opening? It's not the best term, but it's certainly an excellent show, and it doesn't matter whether you're already familiar with the band or the piece of music, because I'm usually not. If you're looking for a place to start, one of my favourite episodes is the one featuring Meryl Garbus of Tune Yards dissecting her song Water Fountain, and it's got everything: wit, unusual production, catchiness, and hand claps. You can find the show at songexploder.net. There's a little bit of business to attend to following last week's episode about eponyms and ballpoint pens, the Bics and the Biros. So let's get this straight. Here in the UK, we refer to any kind of ballpoint pen as a biro, whereas in the USA, you don't call ballpoint pens biros or Bics, but in the South, you might call any soft drink a Coke. In France, you call all pens Bics, but if we referred to a Bic in the UK, we'd probably be talking about disposable lighter, likewise in Australia. But in some places, Bic means a shave, sometimes the head, sometimes the full body. Comparative linguistics is hard. John also tweeted, okay, we need a movie about the history of the ballpoint pen. Burning question, Coens or Wes Anderson? Is Brett Ratner busy? This episode was produced by me, Helen Zaltzman. Thanks to Hrishikesh Hirway, Tony Hazard, and Martin Austwick, who provided the special vocables version of the Allusionist theme that you can hear playing right now. Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is... Occiput. Noun. Anatomy. The back of the head. Try using it in an email today. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as Allusionist Show and at theallusionist.org, where I'll be back next week with another episode with another Radiotopian.